But for this pregame show, I figure with so much excitement going on with the White Sox right now, and honestly, like realistic optimism that we can talk about, what better way to preview today's game than have one of our best friends from Baseball Isn't Boring. You've seen her here for our opening day Eve show. She absolutely crushes it all the time. You can check out her interviews as well. She just recently interviewed White Sox broadcaster Dan Plesac and talking about his smelly polo shirt when the White Sox couldn't lose a game. It's Courtney Finicum. So let us...
As always, Josh, you know how to introduce the girl, I got to tell you.
Well, the White Sox, Courtney, 22-23 since the All-Star break. If I told you that the White Sox would have the same record as the Detroit Tigers post-All-Star break, what would you say?
I mean, I would look at you like you were crazy, which I normally do anyway, but I really would this time because after what we saw first half, I mean, that team couldn't hit a lick, right?
No, they could not.
And it was frustratingly bad. I mean, how many games did we lose by one run in the first half?
Way too many.
So I would have looked at you like you were crazy.
Yeah. What was it? 1 point, they were 9-28 in one run games. Just brutal viewing experience. But what do you make of this performance, though, Courtney, post All-Star break? Because James Fegan will look at me and say, Josh, you're just overly optimistic. You are crazy town banana pants right now. I don't know if this is going to carry over to next season because each season is different. But I know it's weird for me to say I am optimistic, and I don't think what we're watching from the White Sox right now, Courtney, is a fluke because a lot of this run production is coming from the younger players. How do you view their play post All-Star break this season, and do you think it could carry over into 2026?
So if you know a lot about me, you know I'm kind of a, believe it or not, a glass half-empty person.
Okay.
So that can tell you right there about my mindset with all my teams. But I got to say, I am optimistic as well, which I'm usually not. I'm usually kind of a realist, and I'm like, okay, they're going to come down to earth. It's going to be over. It's going to be fine. They're still going to be the same White Sox we hate, right? But I feel like this particular core, like you said, the young guys, I feel like they're playing with an energy and a chemistry that we've never seen before. Certainly compared to the old core of the, you know, the Eloy Jimenez and the Moncadas and all that. I feel like it takes a while for a core of guys to mesh together. And that's what we're seeing finally right now in the second half. They're finally playing with a purpose. There's energy. There's stuff going on that we have not seen in a long time on the South Side.
And to back up that point, I don't know if you guys watched last night's game, but last year, Kyle Teal and Shane Smith colliding in front of home plate and the Tigers scoring two runs off that, we would have made fun of that, and that everyone in baseball would have made gifts and made fun of the White Sox. Like, look how the White Sox have found another way to lose a game, but they didn't lose. Like, they came back and they fought through that, and Shane Smith struck out the next guy he faced.
And that's exactly what I keep saying. You know, everyone wants to sort of nitpick the fact that the Twins are a terrible team right now, going back to the Twins series. And they're a decimated team, let's be honest. They got absolutely gutted at the deadline. But those are four games the White Sox do not come back in.
No, they do
last
not.
Year. They do not. So there is something to be said for that. They are playing with a flair and an energy right now that we were not seeing last year. And that means something.
Now, I think a big part of what we're seeing here is this offensive transformation. So as I mentioned, I have to pay for a very expensive steak dinner.
You do.
This offseason, because the White Sox entering the All-Star break were only on pace to score 544 runs. They were averaging 3.4 runs a game. Since the All-Star break, Courtney, the White Sox went from last in Major League Baseball in team OPS. They are currently seventh entering today before facing Tarik Skubal, and we know how good Skubal is, but they're still a top 10 offense. They're averaging 5.4 runs per game. It's the 2000 White Sox all over again.
My favorite team. Thank you very much. The kids can play. The kids can play.
Who's on the team? Oh, yeah, that's right. Jose Valentin, who was just here. Yeah.
I was in the Sox machine suite last weekend when Jose Valentin threw out the first pitch. And Josh now knows my little childhood crush on Jose Valentin. Very proud of that, by the way. So, yes, I am a big supporter of it.
Handsome dude still.
I mean, still. I mean, without the mustache, the salt and pepper now, oh, my goodness. Hello.
But for this White Sox offense, still being a top 10 unit, this is where James will, like, laugh at me and be like, Josh, there's no way that the White Sox next season with the roster that they have are going to average 5.4 runs per game. And James is probably right. But, Courtney, how does this change the thinking entering this offseason if the White Sox suddenly do have a top 10 offense?
And I think it changes things drastically. However, I mean, I think we can look at the big picture, the realistic picture, like I said. I mean, is Colson Montgomery going to hit 50-plus home runs next year in 162 games?
That would be amazing. I would love it.
I mean, Cal Raleigh's hitting 50-plus home runs, right? But, I mean, the realistic version of that is probably not. So at some point, he's going to come down to earth and turn into whatever he's going to turn into. But I will say about this current run, sometimes it really does take a while for a young team to start gelling. And I saw a quote from Marcus Thames, our hitting coach, the White Sox hitting coach, and he basically said the same thing. Sometimes when you have a young core, it takes a while for that team to start gelling. And I really do think we're seeing that finally.
Yeah, because 5 runs per game would challenge the 2000 White Sox for most runs scored in a season. Not saying the 2026 White Sox are going to do that. But I don't want to stop them. Like, please. That makes this watching the baseball every day a lot more fun. And you can just buy into, like, you mentioned the Twins series. Down 3-1 in the ninth inning. Last year, they easily lose that game, Courtney.
Easily.
But Michael A. Taylor comes through, and the White Sox win that game 4-3. So that's just how different this post-All-Star break has been.
Who's quietly had a very nice year, Michael A. Taylor. You know, he's a very unassuming guy, but he is quietly, and I sort of crapped on that signing when it happened, but he's quietly had a very nice year.
Very useful now that Luis Robert is probably missing the rest of the season.
100%. Don't get me going on that.
So we talked about Colson Montgomery, and he has hit more home runs than anyone in Major League Baseball since the All-Star break. Are you buying into this type of power production?
Am I buying into the tight? Well, that's a loaded question.
It's only a 57 home run pace over 162 games, Courtney.
Only. I am not buying into the 57 home run pace, but I am buying into the power surge. Absolutely.
Is he the future star that White Sox fans have been wondering ever since the previous core? Because Tim Anderson was the star, right?
Absolutely.
He was in a Dairy Queen commercial with Bryce Harper. Is he the next star of the White Sox?
Well, I said this during Sox Fest. We were in this very room when we were interviewing the guys from Sox Fest. And I got a chance to talk to Colson Montgomery for about 10, 15 minutes. And I told anyone that would listen after that interview, if this kid pans out, he is going to be a superstar. He has an extremely likable personality. And I think we're seeing that. I think the more he gets interviewed, we are seeing that personality come out. But I would like to personally see, because as we discussed earlier, I'm a baseball purist at the end of the day. I'm very old school deep down. I like to see him get on base more. I like to see some more walks. Just my personal, you know, personal idea of what I like to see him get better at. But I think this power is here to stay.
Yeah, ever since he grabbed that torpedo bat. We did not see this type of power production in the minor leagues. And he mentioned, because he didn't have the torpedo bat.
Right.
Now having a bat that's custom made, so it matches with his swing profile. So when he does barrel up pitches, he's the only rookie ever in the StatCast era to hit 2 homers more than 450 feet. I did not have any clue he had this type of power.
Well, I was at the Joe Borchard game. Do you guys know what I'm referring to when I say
so
the Joe Borchard game?
Did that actually fly into the concourse?
It absolutely flew into the concourse. And again, you know, Joe Borchard, an unfortunate, another failed failed White Sox prospect that we were all excited for that didn't pan out. But I really thought that one home run Colson hit at Sox Park was going to go further than the Joe Borchard home run.
They need to bring back the goose. They need
something in
the concourse. They need a target.
Yes, they do.
We talked about if it's going to be the Miller Lite landing, have a Miller Lite can.
I mean, honestly, baseball's off the goose's nose or the beak. I mean, that would really be a thing, and I would love to see.
We can hear a honk call from John Schriffen.
Oh, please, no. No offense, of course. No.
So Colson Montgomery, super impressive. If he did this in the first half of the season, he would be the White Sox All-Star representative.
Without a doubt.
But it was Shane Smith. And Shane Smith had a strong April and May. We talked about it a lot. June and July, he regressed. But Courtney, in his last 8 starts, he's only allowed 14 earned runs. His ERA is 3.25 during this 8-start stretch. He has regained his velocity. He was hitting 98 miles per hour yesterday. Is he the frontline starter that the White Sox are now looking for ever since they traded Garrett Crochet away?
I think he can be a solid number 2. I think if we're going into spring training next year and he's considered the number 1, Chris Getz might have failed at his job in the offseason.
Okay.
I think we still need to look at a solid veteran for that number 1 spot.
Anyone in mind?
Off the top of my head, a Shane Bieber might be interesting.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
he's looking good for Toronto.
He's looking good for Toronto, and he's a name that right off the top of my head, nice veteran presence. I don't know what he's looking for contract-wise, but he'd be someone I'd take a look at.
Okay, I like that type of target. The Sox Machine Offseason Plan Project, very popular on our site, where everybody gets to play GM. I can't wait for this year because before the All-Star break, it was going to be super boring. I don't think a lot of people were going to participate. But now, since they've been playing so well and there's a lot more optimism, I think we're going to get a lot more creative ideas. I didn't even think about Shane Bieber. I was expecting a lot of Framber Valdez.
Yeah, he's another interesting name, but
don't piss him off, though.
As we saw, which, you know what? I don't mind that.
You mentioned if Shane Smith is your number one, that Chris Getz would have failed in the offseason. If Shane Smith is the opening day starter in 2026 for the White Sox, if they don't go and get another starter, Courtney, is he the best option? Like, are you expecting him to be the best pitcher for the White Sox next year?
I think that's a safe bet. As we've kind of seen with, we had Sean Burke open up this year.
And he's in Charlotte.
Yeah. And that's a little bit of a weird move, let's be honest.
Yeah, it is. It's
a little weird.
He's working through some things a lot of us did in our 20s.
No doubt.
We had some good days. We had some bad days.
No doubt.
I'm so glad that the hitting prospects have clicked for the White Sox with Montgomery and Teal and Caro. Mydroth has had a solid season this year for the White Sox because it does cover up some of the, I don't want to say if it's frustration, but like Hagen Smith and Noah Schultz have had very uneven years this year. Schultz is back on the IL because of a knee injury.
Right.
So we'll see what they can contribute into next year. Those two, I would have said, we're going to see them in September, and they're going to give us hope.
Likewise.
I think I prefer this route now with Montgomery, Teal, and Caro because they're going to play every day.
Absolutely.
Instead of every fifth day. And then we don't have to play the game of, are they going to trade Schultz and Smith 4 years from now?
Please don't haunt me.
So that's one of the areas that's concerning for me from this season is how Schultz and Smith bounce back. So let's start on that front. What is an area of concern for this season that you would like the White Sox to address in the offseason, Courtney?
Well, I've been screaming about this for about a month on Twitter, and it's the bullpen. The bullpen is an absolute sore spot.
You're not enjoying this adventure?
I mean, it's an everyday roller coaster, right? I mean, even if we jump with like a, 3-1 run lead and it's the sixth inning, I'm like, okay, who's going to come in now? Is it going to be Tyler Gilbert? Is it going to be, Bryce Wilson, whoever the hell they're pulling out?
I got so nervous last night that I hopped on the Peloton bike to get that nervous energy out of my system.
Bullpen. But it's like, I just wonder if we even had a halfway decent bullpen, where would this team be right now on September 6th? I'd be interested to see.
Math says the expected win-loss record for the White Sox should be 9 wins better than what they currently are. If we were here today and they were playing up to the math, they'd be a half game behind the Minnesota Twins for 4th place. They'd be a game and a half back at Cleveland for 3rd place.
Yep.
I think we would feel a lot different coming into today's game, being like, the White Sox have a chance to not be in last place. There'd be a lot more excitement than there is currently. And I talked about this at the ESPN 1000 pregame show. Like, how do you look at this White Sox team entering the offseason, Courtney? What's the starting point? If they finish 62 and 100, do you view this as a White Sox team that won 62 games and try to make adjustments in the offseason? Or do you ignore everything that happened pre-All-Star break and say, we are this team post-All-Star break? Damn pessimism. And this is how we're going to make moves this offseason.
So here's the way I look at your first statement about, you know, where the Sox would be. You know, with the way the American League is structured, if the Sox were what you said they could be, they'd be right in the middle of the wild card race, which is wild to think about, right in the middle of it. So for that third spot, of course. But as far as what they need to do, I'm not talking about, you know, getting a 2015 Royals-style bullpen, although it would be sweet.
It would be nice.
It'd be nice. But we definitely need to figure out, okay, who is the closer? You know, flipping a coin every day, okay, is it Leisure, is it Grant Taylor? We need a bona fide closer. Luke Weaver comes to mind if you want another free agent possibility. Okay. He's an interesting name that's a free agent. We need someone that can for sure close the door in the ninth inning.
So I don't know if Will Venable agrees with us, because I'm kind of with you that it would be nice to have a ninth inning guy.
Yes.
But he kind of subscribes to the idea of, you're my best reliever.
Yep.
Here comes 3, 4, and 5 in the seventh inning. You're pitching the seventh inning.
Yes.
So I'm curious, like, if Getz even goes after guys like that. But I am expecting, Courtney, this offseason, White Sox sign this reliever. Why? They throw 97.
Right.
Why do they sign this guy? He throws 97.
Right.
Like, they're going to be going after velocity, even if they got hurt a lot and they haven't pitched a lot. If they have any data where they throw 97 or harder, I think that's what the White Sox are going to do, because Steven Wilson, bless his heart.
Bless his heart.
94 just doesn't do the trick anymore in the zone.
It just doesn't. And you know what? He's another guy. It's a roller coaster. Either you're going to have a shutdown inning from him, or you're going to have some traffic on the bases. And it's just, we need more consistency out of the bullpen. We need more outs. And as far as what else they need to do, they need to iron out what's the plan moving forward with first base. Are we going with Miguel Vargas? I mean, what is the plan there? And of course, the constant hole that's in right field. You know, I'd love to see a 30-plus home run guy sitting right field again. That would be wonderful, but they got to figure out what the plan is.
Kyle Tucker's going to be a free agent.
What a fantasy.
Yeah.
What a fantasy.
The first base is funny, because this upcoming offseason, I'm expecting a lot of Josh Naylor.
Yeah, and I worry about that. I mean, he's a you know, Joe DiMaggio against us, but
yes.
As soon as he gets a White Sox uniform on, he's going to be hitting 220, I guarantee you.
Or could he be the A.J. Pierzynski, someone that White Sox fans absolutely hate, but he puts on that White Sox uniform, and everyone's like, oh, I don't remember who he played for before Chicago.
And allegedly a great clubhouse guy.
Yes.
Allegedly a great clubhouse guy. So that is something that I would take a look at
and
potentially make that move.
Yeah, I agree with you. First base, Miguel Vargas has been doing well, but again, you got to get him healthy. Defensively,
yes.
I think he would prefer to play third base, but the White Sox have questions there.
Yep.
Right field, Mike Tauchman's going to be 36.
Yeah, you know, I was on the train. I got yelled at on Twitter for this. I was on the train of trading him. Like, I thought you figure out a trade for him and try to get something back, because he is going to be 36 in December. And to me, I don't know.
We'll see if they bring him back. He gets on base.
He
it's the money ball quote.
The money ball quote.
What does he do well? He gets on base.
And he is a ball player. I have to say, he's a ball player.
He tries hard.
Yes. Yes,
he does. I look at him as a 40-year-old and be like, Michael, we need to slow down, bud.
Well,
you're going to blow your hamstring.
And he almost has a couple times. So, yeah, he's definitely feeling it. He is.
All right. So we talked about the things that concern us about this season moving forward. What has been your favorite thing about the 2025 White Sox?
We've talked about it all day long. We can continue to talk about it. Obviously, Colson Montgomery coming up and doing what he's doing has been absolutely incredible. I mean, I had talks with people outside the White Sox saying that, oh, Montgomery's another bust. He's another bust. And I don't think anybody really saw that, A, this power, and just how he has acclimated defensively. His defense has been quietly very, very good. So I think his entire profile since coming up has been really encouraging to see.
And I like that the White Sox did play him at third base, because I think he is going to be your everyday shortstop for the next few years. If they hold on to Billy Carlson, Carlson is phenomenal. He's maybe the best prep shortstop defensively I've ever seen, and a lot of people around baseball would also agree with that.
Dan Plesac loves him. He's saying his praises on the podcast
but
with me.
If you move Montgomery over to third and he proved that he can play third and Carlson is your shortstop, maybe like a J.J. Hardy type of shortstop.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah.
All of a sudden, I mean, you got one heck of an infield. I think for me, my favorite thing about this season, other than like the rookies hitting, because how many times have we talked about it? Like, the White Sox call up this rookie, they don't hit. And it's like, how come the White Sox cannot develop any hitters? But it's just not Montgomery. It is Kyle Teal and Edgar Caro having better than league average numbers. That's what gives me like hope going into next season, is that you have answers at catcher. You have an answer at shortstop. You're bringing back Luis Robert. You got an answer in center field. We hear Steve Stone talk about it all the time, and Stoney's right, Courtney. You have to take care of the middle of the field.
Absolutely.
We had no idea what up the middle of the field was coming into the season, but in 2026, punch a hole in there, the next wooden object. There's some wooden benches over here.
Yes.
We can punch a hole through it, but if everybody stays healthy, maybe they lucked into it. But the White Sox have figured out the up the middle as far as defensively and offensively.
I mean, look at who we had last year. Nicky Lopez. I mean, a nice guy, local kid. We love that. Naperville Nicky.
Didn't
but
Jacob
like,
Amaya start on opening day at shortstop
thank you.
For the White Sox?
Another name. But, you know, another positive, you know, the Miguel Vargas. How he
yes.
has really emerged. I thought that trade was going to be a disaster.
It didn't start off well.
It did not start off too well.
No.
But he has really turned into a pretty damn good hitter.
And begrudgingly, Lenin Sosa.
Oh,
any Leninites in the audience? Yeah, there they
oh
are.
Oh, my
there
gosh.
They are. He continues to hit. I mean, he's not great defensively, but
we all sweat when he's in the field. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
There's not a chance in hell you guys are confident when he's playing defense.
But today, as we just have a couple minutes before the first pitch, and thank you to everyone here joining us for the pregame podcast. Really appreciate that. It is Tarik Skubal tonight against the White Sox. Martin Perez has been pitching really well for the White Sox. I think this is going to be a pretty quick game. I'm expecting a low-scoring game, at least in the first five innings. But if you had to have a pick to click tonight of the White Sox against Skubal, and it'll be interesting to see in how correct we were as this gets posted to the podcast feeds, we're either going to look really smart or I'm going to look really dumb. Who's your pick to click tonight against Skubal?
I'm going with the hot hands, and I'm going with Colson Montgomery.
All right. Lefty on lefty damage.
That's right.
All right. I'm going to go with Lenin Sosa.
Okay.
We have a race, and who's going to get the 20 home runs first?
I know we do.
Sosa's leading. He's got 19. Benintendi's not playing tonight. Montgomery is. Both of those are at 18 home runs. We'll see. I think Sosa does get to 20 homers.
I think he will, too. And by the way, I was up here opening day eve, and Benintendi was my pick
yes,
to click.
Yes.
You remember this?
And he's now making a roll.
And I got booed on stage when I said that. And he's more than likely going to have 20 home runs, 20 plus home runs this year. So you're welcome.
And as he told James, he still hasn't felt like he's gotten hot in his 3 years with the White Sox.
He did say that. And I love accountability, as you
yes.
know. I love that. So
yes.
I appreciate that.
So it'll be fun to watch this game with you guys. But again, if you are not following Courtney on social media, you should. She's on Twitter at Courtney883. She's also on Instagram at that same handle. And watch and listen to her podcast through the Baseball Isn't Boring Network. If you didn't get a chance, you got to watch the interview with Dan Plesac. It was so hilarious to him explaining about the polo shirt.
And his energy, I mean, it's insane. I mean, I want whatever he's on because, my goodness, what a guy.
It's that Northwest Indiana energy.
That's it.
Which I know we have some Northwest Indiana folks.
Yes, we do.
In attendance. But again, Courtney, thank you so much for joining me in the pregame show.
Thank you, Josh. It was a pleasure. You guys all have Baseballs and Boring shirts as well. First come, first serve.
Yes, and thank you to everyone here at Remova for watching us in the pregame show. And let's see if the White Sox make it seven in a row.
Thanks, guys.